A mechanic droid rolled past Alana. She saw tools on its rack, one of them a set of hydraulic gripper pliers. She snatched the tool, letting the droid speed harmlessly past. Monarch was turning now, back toward the dome. Alana pushed Angie under a workbench, then moved up next to R2-D2 and let the blanket fall across them both. A moment later, she heard, over the noise of busy droids, the sound of the doors shutting, sealing her in the shop with Monarch. She moved as quietly as she could, making sure not to shift the blanket at all. She clamped the pliers onto the restraining bolt and began tugging. It still refused to come free. She did not hear Monarch again until a few moments later, when the chair to her left creaked. She bit her lower lip and continued tugging. She could feel how curious and excited Angie was getting, like she thought they were playing a game. Alana tried to make Angie feel how serious she was, but that only made the Nexu nervous. C-3PO should be here by now. R2-D2's bolt should come free. Nothing was going right. That seemed to be the way it always was for Grandpa Han, too. She heard Monarch's voice, a surprisingly smooth, mellow tone. She'd expected him to sound gruff and mean.
Yes? What do you want?
There was no answer, but a moment later, the blanket concealing her was yanked aside. Monarch, seemingly as tall as a giant and twice as menacing, stood there, a mechanic droid beside him. The droid was pointing with one spindly arm at her, and as she came fully within view of its optical sensors, it shifted so that it was pointing at the pliers. Monarch grabbed her arm, yanking her away from the astromech.
You set the fire.
She screamed, a high-pitched wail of distress, and kicked him in the shin. Then Angie jumped on his shoulders and tried to chomp the back of his neck. Her bite restrainer kept her teeth from closing quickly enough to break the skin, but the surprise of feeling the mouth of a Nexu cub around his neck made Monarch scream and release Alana's arm. At the same moment, the mechanic droid nimbly plucked the pliers from her hand and sped off back toward its intended task. Monarch whirled in a circle, then reached up behind his head and grabbed Angie. If her quills hadn't been safely dulled, they would have gone right through his hand. But as things were, he grabbed the scruff of her neck and pulled her off, then slammed her head down on his workbench, twice, and tossed her onto the hangar floor several meters away. Angie landed with a pained yowl, then rolled back to her feet, whirled back toward Monarch, and staggered three steps before she collapsed in a whimpering heap. Alana kicked Monarch in the shins again.
Bully!
Redness suffusing his face, Monarch turned back to her and glared with his one good eye.
You're gonna pay for that, little girl.
He had to speak loudly. Alana realized that it was because she was still screaming. She stopped screaming, grabbed Monarch's cup from the desk, and dashed its contents into his too close face. He roared like a wounded Wookiee and staggered away from her. She threw the calf mug at him. It bounced off his left shin, directly above where she'd kicked him, then dropped to the permacrete floor and shattered. Monarch straightened and glared back in her direction, but his eye could barely open, and the way he turned his head, like a short-range sensor dish trying to pick up an incoming target, told Alana that he could not see her. She almost cheered. Then the hangar door bang closed again. Alana glanced over to see if C-3PO had finally arrived, but the droid was nowhere to be seen. In fact, she didn't see anyone near the door, just two shapes that she might have been imagining disappearing into two dark corners. One looked big and male, and the other small and female, and then they were gone. Alana didn't know who they were, or even if she had really seen them, but she did know that if they weren't C-3PO, they probably weren't on her side. She looked around for something else to throw at Monarch, something big enough to knock him out so she could rescue R2-D2 and Angie and get out. Monarch flipped the patch up from his other eye. The orb he revealed was Durasteel gray, with a glowing yellow optical at the center. That was inhuman enough, but then it extended out 4 centimeters from his eye socket. telescoping and pointing straight at her. Monarch lunged at her. Alana screamed again and darted aside. He froze where he was and turned, his head swiveling, the telescoping eye swinging independently. And yet he did not see her, not in those first few moments. She understood. The prosthetic he had for an eye was a micro-optic, designed to make very tiny things, such as delicate circuitry, easy to see and evaluate. With his normal eye out of commission, he had to look for her as if peering down a narrow reed. She ended her latest scream with a gulp and backed away. He spotted her again and came after her, but his leg slipped out from under him, almost like somebody had pulled it, and he fell down. Alana ran, hitting and ricocheting off one of the mechanic droids, and rounded the stern end of the yacht. It smelled like fresh paint. She wondered if she could find a container of paint to dash into his prosthetic eye. She peered back the way she'd come. He had lost her again. His head and eye turned this way and that. As a mechanic droid passed near him, he reached out, seized it, assured himself by touch that it was not the little girl, and let it go. Monarch made a strangled noise loud enough for her to hear, then raised his voice. Headache mode! Every mechanic droid in the shop slowed its pace. The rumble of wheels across permacrete and servos moving arms immediately muted. A near silence fell across the shop, broken only by faint whirs, quiet metallic clatters, and Angie's soft whimpers.